Good afternoon and welcome to Don Brassas.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon to you. My name's Gail Hunt.
Thank you.
And hi, I'm with the charity Action for Animals Barbados. Hello, Mr. Norville.
Excellent.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am very well.
So Mr. Norville's one of my colleagues and one of my friends as well. We work together on a number of initiatives to do with animal welfare. And what I wanted to say with regards to the last caller who was talking about the gullies was that, first of all, I wouldn't advise anybody to go into the gullies and cut away anything. And the reason why is that there's a lot of biodiversity within the gullies. And you really upset the ecological balance within the gullies if you interfere with it. What I can advise, however, is if people wish to find out who owns the boundary of the land adjacent to any gullies, then once permission is granted, you can then plant alongside the gully, but not within the gully. Our charity Action for Animals Barbados has done just that. We've been partnering with a number of farmers, and we've begun a project whereby we're planting fruit trees along gullies so that the monkeys will have something to sustain them. And the idea is that they will not have to encroach on persons' farmland. However, it's a pilot project that we're doing. It does take time for these things to roll out, as you would imagine. And we're also working with Mr. Norville and the Ministry of the Environment on their African Green Monkey project. And one of the things that we're now addressing with the University of the West Indies is to have the African Green Monkey added to the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act. Because at the moment, they're not. We only have livestock and domestic animals. But we're trying to get the African Green Monkey added so that when it comes to protecting these primates, there's actually legislation in place and people can go from there in terms of what is allowed and what's not allowed. So I wanted to mention that. And the other thing I just wanted to quickly mention was about basic animal care, is that there's still a need in Barbados for persons to be spaying and neutering their animals to help control the animal population number. Because we're finding that a lot of the shelters are still being overrun with abandoned dogs and also puppies. So I'd like to advocate and encourage Barbadians, once the COVID shutdown has been lifted, to consider getting their dogs spayed and neutered. And we'd like to see animal welfare also introduced into schools, because we believe that if it's introduced into schools, it will help the next generations that Wayne was talking about to develop compassion. And I'm pleased to say that we have met with the Ministry of Education earlier this year and also last year, and we are going to be excited to be starting a project with them, along with Canine Friends Barbados, where we will be working with nursery children and infant children to start the ball rolling in that way. And we're hoping that can develop into a larger project.
Yeah. I mean, these all sound like excellent initiatives, and you know, it's consistent with what I was saying to Wayne earlier, that I think that Barbadians, now we have been exposed to information and to an alternative experience, our attitude has improved substantially over the last 10 years, and it shows that, you know, we're on the right track. You want to comment quickly, Wayne?
Yeah, as Gail said, we were hand in hand on most of these projects, and I will differ a little with Gail when she said she wouldn't advise people to plant in the gully. What I was talking about was not on the floor of the gully.
But
I was talking on the rim of the gully. Mm-hmm. You understand? Not on the floor. Because as much as she spoke about biodiversity, fruit trees were in there before. So they were part of the biodiversity. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I still believe that. Because, okay, if you have fruit trees on the rim of the rim of the gully, that's one thing. You must remember that there's a number of troop of monkeys that will be foraging in that area. So you still need more trees, and you need perennials, because there are some perennials that don't grow fruit, but they grow leaves that monkeys eat. You understand? There's leaves that they will eat from off the tree. But all in all, once we put our heads together, we could get this thing work. But we need to have a committee who doesn't... Their members start by killing all of them. You understand? I can't deal with people like that, so I really don't want to sit down with a person that can start like that. Because
you guys seem to be on the right path, and I particularly like the idea of getting children involved, because I think that's really where it starts. My exposure to animals started as a child, and because I grew up in an environment where dogs were always part of it, you know, our dog lived in the house. It just seemed natural to me that you were kind to animals. I think that many people have not had that experience, and I think it's useful that, you know, you introduce children to the idea that, you know, animals have feelings. And there is a role for humanity in this regard, because, you know, all of us share the earth, so there's no reason why we shouldn't enjoy it. Spaying and neutering is particularly important. And I think this is something that over the years Barbadians have not understood. So they feel that you fix the females because you don't want the pups, but why should you fix the males? When the reality is that you really need to fix both. And I think that is also a program that has been a very reasonably successful, because more people are having their animals spayed and neutered than before. And I think that is in itself a start, because if we have a successful spaying and neutering program over a period of 10 years, we will significantly reduce the population of stray animals and animals being born into unwanted situations. And that's a particularly important task of spraying and neutering. To the lady who spoke to the cats recently that she adopted, I wanted to make a point that I'm hoping that Wayne will also endorse, that there's no reason why you cannot have a cat that does not belong to you, spayed or neutered. Certainly, the idea of having cats fixed also helps in terms of behavior and whatnot. There are people who have them fixed and returned to the wild, and there's really no reason why that can't be done. There's a fairly successful program at Farley Hill where animals, cats that live in that environment have been fixed, and they live wild. So they forage and, you know, people give them food and stuff, but they will not be able to reproduce, which helps to stop fighting, and it helps to stop, you know, more roadkill and for other reasons. So I just wanted to make a very quick point in that regard. Having an animal fixed is not expensive, and invariably is something that can be done, can be afforded. Even if you have cats that live around the house that don't come in, you can have them fixed and then return to thing. RSPCA can help you with capture of cats, and, you know, you can have them fixed and then return to that environment if you feel so inclined. Yeah? Okay, let's see if we can take probably one last call, producer. Yeah, one last call for Mr. Norville, and then we will let him go back to his important work. And I want to thank the last caller for calling and sharing some of the important experiences they've been having also with animal cruelty and prevention. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. I have a question. There was a press conference sometime about where the COVID czar and also the Minister of Health had asked. So persons will come into the country after the 15th of March to contact the Ministry of Health. Are you aware of if all of those persons were traced and if they had contacted the Ministry of Health?
Oh, I don't know. That's not a question that I can answer. I think that's a question that would have to be posed to the czar or to the COVID hotline. If you dial 536-4500, you could perhaps put that question to them and ask them if they have been successful. Do you know of any such person, though?
No, but on the last occasion when I heard the minister speak to the matter, it sounded like I read between lines and it didn't seem like they had reached everyone.
I know.
So this is a
but do you know of someone that needs to be reached?
Yes, but I don't know if that person went in. So I'm saying if you
have information on a contact trace that has been unsuccessful, call the hotline and you convey that intelligence to them.
But I'm saying I don't know if the person went in.
I know. So I'm saying you convey the information to them and let them work out whether or not the individual should have gone in, whether the individual has gone in or whatever. If you have information on a person that you believe ought to be tested, it would probably be best that you convey that confidentially to the COVID hotline. You speak to whoever answers and let them know the information that you have, the basis on which that information is derived, and let them investigate it. Putting it on the call-in program is not going to go anywhere, sir, unfortunately, because we don't really have the capacity to respond to that. So I think it's probably better if you have intelligence regarding a trace that you think ought to be done, convey it to the hotline, 536-4500. Okay, sir?
But this is specifically those persons who came in after the 15th.
I know. So you call them, 536-4500, and you convey it to them. Okay? Thanks a lot for calling, sir. We take one last call from Mr. Norville. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling because I have some here about a query. Yeah, course where people used to cut the monkey tails off and you get $50 for them. This is that is something that's still going on.
Mr. Norville responded to that just now and said that he's not sure of the situation, but he expressed concern. Well, we're gonna let you respond yourself. Go right ahead.
As I said, I am not certain if it's still going on. But I do have some reservations about that because a person will shoot, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the animal dies instantly. The animal could be left there with its tail cut off and just left there. You know, if once the animal is down, the girl is not going to waste another shot, but he obviously buys them, so the animal stays there and suffer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Another thing that I just wanted, what about the horse racing and the horses being beaten to get faster than they could go?
Well, I don't believe in beating anything, any animal. Mm-hmm. I believe that the turf club should have a rule about how many times a horse could be struck.
Being honest with you, I feel it should stand up. Just do your foot like a little kick and see who wins the race. Mm-hmm. But as it comes to beating,
That would be ideal too.
That is brutality.
That would be ideal too, but
everybody sits down and watch it.
Uh-huh. But let me intervene though and ask a question which is relevant to both of you gentlemen. Overseas in international, because I've seen a documentary on BBC regarding animal cruelty, and I am aware of the fact that certainly in the United Kingdom there are some limitations to which are put on the striking of an animal. Is that conventional wisdom, or is that something that is talked about in horse racing circles?
I'm not sure if it's talked about, and I'm not certain if there is a law here as such.
Not here, but I mean in some other places.
In other places.
Okay. Does that answer your question, sir? The fact that we don't have a regulation here, but there is wisdom overseas in some other developed societies where...
And one more thing about the dog barking. I can't get that one figured out because... Dogs does the different. They got different dogs. The different and certain dogs that will bark constantly at anything, anybody that passed the road, mm-hmm. even lizards, centipedes, rats, anything. So
they bark.
So it's amazed me how people call and say about these things. I got a dog, and this dog you can come here by me and go back out different, put on a hat and a jacket and come back. He's a different dog. Mm-hmm. I got a sound of peace come out of my house and crawl on anything. He's going to bark all the way through. And when I let him go, he's going to come right at the spot and pinpoint it could be something there. So it amazes me how people they talk about animals and this about barking and all the things. We need to come up with be real. Mm. There's things in this country that I really want talking about. We need to these petty things for dogs that don't make sense. Right. I've been wrong dogs from the time I was small.
Well, sir, you know, you're fortunate. I also have been wrong animals from the time I was small. But I think this idea of dogs barking is a nuisance to some people that can cause them to do some very strange things. Is that not correct, Wayne? That for everybody, it don't be the same. Yeah.
No, it's not the same for everybody. Yeah. I think sometimes people have other problems, but the dog is the easiest thing to complain about.
Yeah. All right.
And
All right, sir. I want to thank you for calling and for making those 3 points. I also want to thank you, Inspector Norville, for agreeing to sit with us for a few minutes to talk about some issues relating to animal cruelty. I appreciate the points you've made. You've put forward a solution, a partial solution, regarding this whole monkey business and ways in which we can start to resolve. But I think the broader point that you've made that's more important is that we need to have some kind of a broad base, nonpartisan approach to dealing with these types of issues that will help us to resolve them within the context of the life of one administration and not have stretched to others. We have one more call in, which is important. The gentleman has asked if we could just stick a pin and have you on for the last call. Good afternoon and welcome, sir.
Hi, good afternoon.
All right, ma'am, sorry. I thought
That's
it was a gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's go right no ahead, problem. Ma'am. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for this topic today because I have an issue with my neighbor's dog as well. And I heard other callers complaining about, you know, what is the issue with the dog barking? But the issue is that, one, you know, there is a law in effect regarding dogs barking and it being a nuisance. Also, too, as I currently speak to you, I'm surprised that it's so quiet in my background because for the past year, my neighbor's dog has been barking continuously and very loudly as well. I've reached my nearest police station. They have acted as though, you know, dogs bark, it is okay, get over it. The dog barks at night more so than during the day. Mm-hmm. The dog is actually next to my bedroom window, and every night I cannot sleep. I'm at a point now where I feel like I don't know what else to do. And I've heard other callers complain about how kites have been so annoying for the past few weeks. But it's the same concern to me. And I don't think people realize that a dog which barks constantly and very loudly as well is a nuisance. And it could affect mental health as well as other issues as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, you know, I think in Barbados we think that a dog barking is okay. It's not okay.
All right, ma'am. You know, the challenge here, though, is that I don't know if Inspector Norville is the person for you in this regard, because
okay.
It's not a RSPCA problem as such.
Correct.
I don't know. Is this something that you want to say that I haven't said? Because
it's only if the animal is not being treated properly. If the animal is locked in a kennel 24 hours a day, if the animal doesn't get exercise.
Correct. And
because obviously
correct.
The dog is calling, maybe the dog knocked
correct.
Over the water bowl, there is no water, the
correct.
Dog is
perfect. Correct.
You
correct.
Understand? And, so
correct.
Those are things that will cause the dog to
correct.
Bark.
And
sir, and you have so the neighbor should be aware of these things.
Thank you.
And do the
thank
right
you.
Things so then that the
thank
dog
you.
Does not annoy their neighbor.
Correct. I think
you
are correct because as a speaker as well, the dog has been tied to a chain for the past year. It hardly gets
Whoa.
Fed, hardly gets water and so forth. And the police know this and it seems, you know, to me like there's no more hope.
But this is the critical thing here, ma'am. Now you say that, right?
Yeah.
You have evidence that the animal is being ill-treated. How
yeah,
do you when what is the appropriate rule procedure for her? Because the issue isn't about the animal barking, the issue is about ill treatment. Who do you report this
yeah.
to?
It should be reported to the police.
Correct, yeah.
But if the police say that they don't have the capacity
to deal
with it?
If the police needed my assistance, then I go. If there's a situation where the dog is in dire straits, where the first time the person calls, Mr. Norville, this dog is dying.
Okay.
Well, yes, I go. And then if I need the assistance of the police, I will call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You understand? But if there's a situation where but the neighbor is supposed, he has to take the blame for the problem that you are getting from that dog.
And
because
they're
not
more
looking
one.
After the dog.
Correct, right. correct.
You understand? They're not looking after the dog properly. So the dog becomes the focus, but the focus is really the neighbor.
True, and I agree with you.
You understand? And,
agree.
And what purpose is the dog locked in a kennel?
Thank you.
Because
thank you.
If you're keeping it for security and the thief come and see the dog in the kennel locker, you keep going back door and going inside the house. And then when you come home, but you got a dog and the dog ain't back. How are we going back? You got to pick up a phone and call you at work or whatever. I keep it here.
I agree.
Huh?
So I don't know what else to do at this stage.
You
and
know
you know, I was grateful for today's topic.
You, give me a call. You have a pen? Let me give you my name.
Okay, have a pen whenever you're ready.
Yeah, 232.
Yep.
8083.
So 232-0883.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. I'm happy that we've been able to get some resolution here. And the critical point here is that the treatment of an animal really is the response that Wayne can deal with. The barking is different, but the ill treatment is something that he can respond to. So that's the key point, and I hope that you have some resolution. Wayne, again, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today. I share your passion for this issue, and I really do hope that you can make some progress in terms of the suggestions that you made. Anytime you want to share with us on this medium, you have my number. Feel free to make contact, because I'm also an animal person, so I am happy to at least, as much as I can, use this role to help advance your cause. Any final words from you, sir?
Only that I need the Minister of Agriculture, who is in charge of the Animals Act. I really need him to act. Okay? We've had one meeting with him, I guess, because of the COVID. We were supposed to have another one, but it couldn't happen. But as soon as this thing is finished, we need to get cracking so that we can get this problem resolved as soon as possible.
Okay.
I have already spoken to the minister. He has told me about having a meeting too, but unfortunately, COVID came in place and everything got upset. So now we'll have to start all over again. But okay. That's certain. As soon as we are back, everybody's back up to work, we'll try and get some work done.
All right, that's excellent news. And again, thank you, Inspector Norval. We appreciated very much your chatting with us.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, you too. Yeah, I have a couple of WhatsApp messages that would have come in during the course. Gentleman is saying Peter's Turf Club does have rules regarding the number of times a jockey can hit a horse during a race. If a horse is beaten more than necessary in quotations, jockeys can be disciplined. So this is a point from someone regarding the whole matter of animal cruelty relating to the Turf Club. The Turf Club does have rules governing the number of times a jockey can hit a horse during a race. If it's beaten more than necessary, it can be disciplined. A lady called AG from, or someone called AG from Atlanta said, Peter, it is refreshing to hear the discussions on a topic other than politics with you. Having my friend Mr. Wayne Norval on the show was a brilliant idea. And this is AG in Atlanta, who I imagine is known to you, Wayne. So that person is sending their regards. Peter, I'm a farmer. The only thing that the monkeys do not eat is limes. To control the monkey, you need to have trained dogs to chase them away. The animal control unit is the authority to control dogs in Barbados. This is another solution that I wasn't aware of, using dogs to control. All right, I'm going to read a couple of more things and then I'll go to the thing. Peter, you're all about dogs, so what about pigs? My neighbor feeds pigs at 5 in the morning and the noise wakes everyone up. That's certainly not a matter for Mr. Norval. That sounds like a public nuisance issue. My neighbor's dogs are barking all day and all night. I've complained, but another neighbor has no satisfaction from the owner. That neighbor has contacted the RSPCA, not sure what the outcome was. All know the dogs are barking. Remember, the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is not a statutory authority. So Wayne can assist. But certainly, if you have a problem with a dog barking, he's not the individual to deal with it. Peter, on the issue of monkey destruction, I agree with the idea of planting fruit trees because the monkeys are vegetarian. With the amount of building trees that are being cut down in Barbados, the territory that they inhabit is being reduced. They have been forced to find food elsewhere. Planting trees would be an excellent idea that would fix the problem. So, down to brass tacks. Someone from Rotterdam is saying that they wanted to pass on information. The suggestion is that dogs are not nocturnal. Wolves are, but most common breed dogs simply tend to follow the patterns of their owners. They're known as social sleepers in that their sleep patterns stray because of the fact that they tend to look for food scraps left out during the evening or nighttime. As for the monkeys, perhaps a successful culling program to target kangaroo overpopulation in Australia might provide ways that Barbados can tackle the issue. And this is Alan from the Netherlands. The issue of kangaroos being nuisances in Australia was an interesting comparison. I wasn't aware that kangaroos were as much of a nuisance until I visited Australia and discovered that they have some of the same issues with them invading properties, roadkill, and generally making nuisances of themselves. And they have similar issues where people have started to eat them. Some people cull them, they shoot them, and they have similar issues of kangaroo protection and also, you know, the dealing with them in a way that is not inhumane. Someone's telling me that they think the dogs are, right, we're talking about monkeys, but what about our national birds, like the wild fowl cocks and the yardies that crow at 2 in the afternoon? They're also a nuisance. And I feel your pain in that regard, sir, where you have cocks crowing around you all hours of the day and night. He also congratulates me on my new status. Thank you very much. It's appreciated. He's asking if I can convey the number for Wayne. Let me check with him and make sure it's okay to repeat it on the air. And if so, I will do so. Right. Apparently, monkeys do eat limes as well. So this gentleman is saying that if his monkeys have not eaten limes, he should consider himself fortunate. All right. So that's enough email for now. Let's go back to the phone lines and say good afternoon or welcome. Good afternoon or welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not bad. Now, my first point is this. I don't think man has... I will say this. Man has no right, no more right to the earth than the monkeys. Right?
That's I'm listening to you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's my first question. And what has happened is we have invaded the monkeys' territory. Let me explain something. And I live in an area where we used to be, in fact, when my man was involved in, we had a large amount of canes, corn, sweet potatoes, all the things that the monkeys like.
Monkeys eat
bananas.
Cane?
Of course. What do you mean? Monkeys like cane, monkeys break the cane, and so on. But I'm trying to explain.
No, but sorry to distract you, but I didn't realize that monkeys do. So what, monkeys suck the cane?
Yes, monkeys suck cane. I mean, I saw this when I was a little boy going to primary school, walking through a place in St. Peter, and I used to see monkeys breaking cane all morning when I was going to school. But I'm trying to explain something.
But monkeys are that strong?
What do you mean? Why should they suck in the cane?
Mr. Sucking cane requires a tremendous amount of dexterity.
I'm sure they suck cane, but they break and the cane and so on. But this is what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to make my point. Now, I grew up in an area where, as I said, my father was very much involved in agriculture. We had quite a lot of canes. We had a lot of corn, a lot of potatoes, all the things, coconuts, mangoes, everything that the monkeys like. I've never seen, during those years, that was in the 60s when I was a boy going to school, I've never seen a monkey around us in those years. Never yet. What has happened is even right now. No, this is a district that people don't grow anything anymore. I have seen a monkey on top of my house. And monkeys are always around here. My dogs are always barking. And I can look what I know monkeys are around. You see? This is what I said with we have invaded the monkeys. What has happened in those years, right? In the early years, all the plantations were working. You had a large number of plantations around here. Prairie Park, Husbands, Holders, Bagatelle, Claremont, and so on. And the monkeys were everywhere well fed because all these plantations had corn, cane, potatoes, and so on. So the monkeys were in the gullies and they got food from these. And they never, in fact, I've never seen the monkey ones going through around here. Mm-hmm. So right now, it's different. The monkeys are looking for food. All the plantations now have all around here, as you know the area. You know, it's a housing. All housing is all around here now. All these plantations are now into housing. So what would the monkey be? So it's not surprising, therefore, to see the monkeys are always, I see monkeys walking up the road. I mean, a monkey's on top of my roof. I mean, I find that most amazing. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the monkeys have nothing to eat and they're looking for food. They're doing my mango trees, everything like that. But I don't kill them because they have to survive. Mm-hmm. You know?
I have a friend who is from St. Lucie who grew up in and around both monkeys and canes, and he's challenging your assertions that monkeys eat cane. He said that he's grown up in that environment. He's never seen a monkey eat cane before.
When Mr. Mason would come, I was as a small boy, right, going to primary school. We used to go to take a shortcut to All Saints, right, to what was Mount Brevard's plantation gully on mornings, a gang of us. And there were so many monkeys in that every morning, in fact. Some mornings when the other guys had gone to school, I was alone. Sometimes they turned back because I was frightened. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing so many monkeys. Then monkeys, they had naturally planted corn, cans, everything. I seen the monkeys sucking cans. And they survived like that. And they never had to go in the village.
Fair enough.
The same thing around here. The monkeys here never had to come in our area of this plantation. So a large number of farmers were in this area. And the monkeys, I've never seen a monkey when I was going to school. And we had lots of corn and cane and everything. The things that monkeys like, everything we had. And I've never seen a monkey in the area then. But yet, no, we have nothing. There is nothing. When I say nothing, we don't have any canes anymore. We don't have, you know, potatoes or those type of things. Like when my father was on a large scale. But I see them now in the district coming out, my thing, picking the mangoes on top of my roof. In fact, whenever I hear my dogs barking and keeping a lot of noise, I know monkeys are around. And they look up. When they look up, it's all the monkey on top of my roof.
No, I am fortunate in that I still find monkeys cute, right? But I've made the point that I did not plant any fruit trees when I moved into my house. And I still don't have any fruit trees. My partner is determined to plant a breadfruit tree in the yard, and it has failed on two occasions because I hear monkeys eat breadfruits too. So one of the reasons I don't have fruit trees is that I really don't want to encourage a monkey population. But I do appreciate the challenges they present for people, especially who are in agriculture, that are trying to grow crops. You're dealing with predial larceny, which is people thieving, and then you're also dealing with questions of monkey destruction. So I think a balance has to be struck that can accommodate our natural need to eat and to feed ourselves, but also give the monkeys some level of humane treatment. And I think that's why I like Wayne's solution of having the gullies populated with fruit trees and with provisions and so on, that would allow the monkeys something to have access to and keep them out of our property. What do you think?
I agree with that totally. Because let me tell you something, Mr. Wickham. I planted some corn only last year.
Monkeys eat corn too?
Oh, you mean? Monkeys, look, before, in fact, what was really ridiculous, even before the corn just grew up, and before they even put out that's when they put the young corn, the monkeys tore down the top of them. Not a lot.
Monkeys must have some strong teeth, boy.
They're very destructive, but I don't mind them. I mean, they pick the mangoes and drop them on the ground. That's what they do too. The bad thing about it is they're going to the tree and drop in the mango tree. Pick the mangoes and drop them on the ground. And they don't that. They do, you know. The pears, everything.
It's interesting, though. Somebody is also saying that they agree with you, that they apparently suck cane, and they're sending me a video. That video is a video I got to see, because I cannot imagine what a monkey looks like sucking cane. I mean, that's a hell of a thing to watch. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Actually seeing a monkey suck cane. Anyway, sir, we're going to have to run down to brass tacks. I have a message here to read regarding salaries of politicians. The person is always targeting politicians for cutting salaries when some of those same people run to the same politicians for help with paying school fees, water bills, light bills, and jobs. When the CEO of a private sector company that works for twice the salary of a member of parliament works for, no one talks about them. Why is it becoming difficult then for, it's no surprise then it's becoming difficult to attract people to politics. If you want to eliminate the corruption in government, certainly politicians have to be paid well. They are professional people. They are donors all year round, all day and all night. I would not be a politician for a day. And this is a gentleman who is expressing this view, and I feel your pain, sir. So Maria tells me that not only do they eat cane, monkeys apparently do a better job, more efficient job of eating cane than we do, and they have been known also to drink coconuts. So it appears as though, and on a more serious note, the monkey diversity of diet has a lot to do with the fact that we have put them under pressure in terms of the quantity of area that we are cultivating. That we are living in, and we are reducing their access to the natural habitat, so they're essentially eating whatever is available to them. Gentleman is telling me that he's been lucky enough to hear the cries of some of the sane farmers in Barbados, who many of whom don't know what to do with themselves because of their issue with the monkeys and the monkey population. Apparently sorrel is on the menu, yams, beans, breadfruits, blossoms. Several of these things monkeys are eating, and this is all news to me. Shocking news, but news nonetheless. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good
to hear you.
Yeah. It amazes me when I hear people saying that the kangaroos are making themselves a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a monkey's making themselves a nuisance.
You say it's funny?
To me, that it amazes me because to me that we are making ourselves nuisances to the animals.
Yeah.
Because we encroach on them.
True.
And I think we ought to remember that when God created heaven and earth, the Bible said he made the animals and the trees and everything first.
Mm-hmm.
And that we came after. We came after. God provided us with everything, and he gave us authority to take care of his creation, which is also monkeys and everything else.
Okay.
I live in an area where when I first moved out here, they had all kinds of trees. Guava tree, coconut tree, aki tree, mangoes, and they would, the children would go and pick them and bring home guava jam and give children in the area. And then when that other area developed, because I came up when it was the second phase, there were three phases, and when they developed the last area, where we would go there and get all the fruit planting, all the trees were dug up. Made road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering why some weren't left. Why do the developers push down all the trees and they become saying that the place is too hot? And I think we ought to make room, leave room, leave space, as the gentleman, what is his name again, that was there talking to you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, we ought to leave room, leave space. You know when the planters, I don't know if you're younger than me, when the planters, sugarcane was being planted in abundance, they had couscous grass along the hedgerow.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't for decoration. That was to keep in the soil. But if people are going to take up farming as a profession, I think they need to go further and study the ecology of the place, wherever they're going, and plant outside the line of the things that they're planting, and leave room for the animals. They do a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see monkeys. They're so cute to me, but some people just hate them, and I don't know.
But they're cute to us because we don't really deal with them in the way that, you know, we buy our provisions from the vendors or from somebody by the side of the road or a supermarket. So we don't really get the pain that the farmer who is growing are having to compete with monkeys gets. So we find them cute. And I suspect they found them cute too before. You know. But your point though, ma'am, is one that I can support. You know, we share the earth with, and it's interesting to hear me agreeing with a Christian perspective, but we share the earth with animals. And if you want to argue, we are all God's creation, so we are no greater or lesser entitled to share the fruits of this earth than them. So for that reason, I would certainly endorse your position and argue that we have a right to be humane in our treatment of animals and also try to find ways that we can share this space, this limited space on earth with other creations of God, as you put them. Thank you so much for calling, ma'am. And gentlemen, the same. Monkeys are not native to Barbados. They're imported from Africa. Perhaps we should send them back. Interesting. And then another guy sends me a picture of a dog eating, a dog sucking cane. Which was not surprising to me, or was surprising to me, because I didn't know that dogs just suck cane, but the dog removed a stalk of cane from the ground and essentially started to suck it. So some fascinating things you learn when you do these calling programs. Dr. Brastatz, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham, sir.
Yes, sir, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'd like to, first of all, compliment Mr. Wayne Norville, Dr. Huey, and the Barrett. The RSPCA for the fine and good job that they do to this country.
Mm-hmm.
However, one way on this problem with the dogs and the monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm going to start with the dogs, Mr. Wickham. I would like to say straight to people, right? Dogs do not really, as Ms. Inspector Norville said, dogs do not really bark unnecessarily. It's mainly because they're unhappy or because there's something alert them. But there is no bigger public nuisance in this country that deter dogs from barking as these public nuisance, as these noisy nuisance guys contribute to a lot of the problems in my neighborhood with dogs barking 24/7. Kites, first of all. Now going on to the monkeys. I want that stop. I want that the kite stop once and for all now. Going on to the monkeys now, Mr. Wickham. Mm-hmm. Monkeys claim...
Can I support you in that, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
Because I was interested that during the curfew, I was hearing no kites. Now that the curfew has been eased to some extent, where people are going out and whatnot, I think people have taken this as a thing to go and be kites all last night, in my area.
On a point of order, Mr. Wickham, on a point of order, even during the curfew,
you were still hearing them.
Police station, you were playing curfew or curfew not, they were still continuing to be flown, and I wanted to stop once and for all. It is making the dogs very unhappy, discomfort, and barking all the time. So don't blame the dogs. The public, the nuisance kites, you got to deal with. Yeah. Let me go on to the monkeys though, Mr. Wickham, please. Now, the point about the monkeys, Mr. Wickham, we, mankind, have encroached and deprived them of their natural habitat. So they have to go where they can find food. By the way, you're talking about monkeys sucking cane, they do suck cane. I know one or two guys who have them, who take them around the beaches and so on, for tourists to take photographs and so on. And I'm going to give you one that's better than that. Monkeys drink beer, they drink brandy, they drink little whiskey, they drink rum and coke, and they drink rum punch. I have seen this with these two eyes that God gives me. Monkeys drink alcohol, too.
And they get drunk, too?
Some of them get dingo, Mr. Wickham, and jump in and pee top your head. I am serious.
You said they get dingo?
The point about it is, no, this is a fact. They drink alcohol, and then they roll over and they get dingo, they jump up on your shoulder.
But what is that word, dingo?
Yes.
I never heard that reference.
No, listen, when they come out, when the curfew is lifted and the guys they make a little dollar by taking them to let the tourists see them and so on and give them a little drink. I can invite you to watch. A friend of mine got one here, Sandy. Sandy loves her rum punch. She didn't get in a rollover. Jummy Top Air Preserve, right? Was created as a tourist attraction, right or wrong?
That's right, yeah. And also to preserve and deal with the species. That's what I understood. Good.
Right, and when they had got the monkeys to send to, I think it was either to England to do tests for AIDS, the Swedish RSPCA came out and it was a worldwide protest against it, encouraging tourists not to visit Barbados for being cruel to monkeys. Going on further, now in Sandy Lane Estate, before the curfew and during the tourist season, it was a tourist attraction where the taxi drivers made an income from bringing tourists to these animals, and the taxi drivers used to feed them.
Okay.
And the Property Owners Association in Sandy Lane put a stop to it. But the monkeys are just as viable in the aspect of tourism as the sea turtles are. The taxi drivers made a handsome income by just taking tourists to the wildlife reserve to see the green monkey and through the woods of Sandy Lane to see the monkeys. But next time I see the monkeys on the beach and the drinking room, I can invite you and your partner to have a drink with me and the monkeys.
And the monkeys.
I don't think so at all.
My thing is that part of this program is an education for me, because my exposure and interaction with monkeys is relatively limited, and I appreciate the truthfulness of what you're saying. I know that there are some people who make a living with these monkeys on the beach and stuff. I didn't realize they used to get to all them kind of antics. But I take your word for it, and I would be happy to join you. And John loves to see the interaction of these monkeys. He finds them even more cute. People who are from Europe generally find monkeys fascinating, and in the same way that they are fascinated by turtles, they're also fascinated by monkeys in the way that they move. But I am a person who appreciates also the other side, and this is the side of the farmers that are essentially at the wit's end regarding what to do with this overpopulation, you know. All right, sir, thanks a lot for calling. Good chatting with you. And down to brass tacks, good afternoon.
Peter.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
It's your buddy Richard here, man.
Hey, Richard, how is it?
Yeah, okay. Hey, listen, I waited here for 27 minutes. You know, I don't really call in too regular, right? But, you know, I raised this issue with the dogs over a year before. You told me, like, I do agree that in Barbados, nuisance issues are not taken seriously. Right? When we first start with that lady, that caller two, that person I called two callers ago, she needs to get herself familiar with Genesis. God made man before he made animals, right? God made Adam after he created the earth and everything, and then he made man, and Adam gave each animal or whatever its name. So she needs to get herself familiar with
that. What's the point, though, the bigger point you're making?
The point I'm making here, right, while an animal has its rights, no owner has a right to make his neighbor uncomfortable with being able to control his animals or whatsoever.
Agreed.
Right. Yes, let me make my point first.
Go ahead. Say,
yeah. Right? With regards to the animal, having an animal is a serious responsibility because an animal, unlike a child, will never develop to the point of taking care of itself. So animal basically is a child forever. Owners need to be cognizant of that. Right? Then, with regards to, Wayne was alluding to the nuisance issue, and I know I made a comment to you on WhatsApp, and you did respond, but I had a call in and say, while Wayne has agreed with the nuisance issue, Wayne has not even given concrete ground on how to report this issue to, because Wayne is quite aware that in Barbados, when you report these issues, you're on a merry roller coaster
but
around.
He has, and I can help you in that regard, sir. Listen, the problem is that Wayne is not a statutory authority. RSPCA is not a statutory authority. So RSPCA is like the ARC, right? Is like any of these organizations that are set up to help animals. The RSPCA runs a clinic. Wayne is paid out of the proceeds of the RSPCA's clinic. So it's not like he has a government responsibility where you can call and say, I have a dog barking next door, I'm complaining to Wayne. Wayne comes in situations where an animal is being ill-treated, as you heard with the lady on the call, where you have a ill-treatment of an animal and he has responsibility from his organization to help in that regard. So if your problem is a dog barking, it's not Wayne's responsibility to give you a number.
I understand what you're saying.
Right. So hold on a second. If the dog is being a public nuisance... Right? You can report the matter to the police, but that's the only authority that you can respond to. If the police are not willing to take action, maybe try animal control.
Right. Right, but the dog is being aggravated as being with serious issues like a hot pain, not being fed on time, or being given water. And an instance like that, if that is investigated and found to be true, the animal should be removed from the premises, hence there needs to be that recourse. Don't just be saying the dog has this right, right? I agree with that.
No, but sir, let's not fight over the issue. Let's not fight over the issue. It doesn't make sense us having a fight over this issue. It's a very straightforward situation. You are being bothered by dogs barking. And I'm saying to you, if the dog is barking because the dog is being ill-treated, you have evidence of that, you can report the matter to Wayne Norville. You can report the matter to the Animal Control Center, or you can report the matter to the police. You have three options there. Right? And an investigation may be pursued. If the barking is just barking per se, it's not a matter for the RSPCA. And let's be clear in that regard. Okay, I'm out of time. I wanted to give you Mr. Norville's number. He said it is okay. Just let me find it on my phone. Sorry. Yeah, Ray Norville, you can reach him on... this is 232-8083. That's 232-8083. He is the inspector at the Royal Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and that's Wayne Norville. If you have any issues regarding animal cruelty, let's just be clear in that regard. Okay, so special thanks to the production team today, to John Stout. I also want to thank all of you for calling and responding so well to this program. It was a Heroes Day program, but a Heroes Day program with a difference. And I think if the hero had emerged, it would be Wayne Norville, who is a champion of animal cruelty issues. So we very much appreciated his intervention today. And I appreciated the fact that you tolerated my divergence from political discussion for long enough to look at this very important issue of cruelty to animals, animal control, and also the question of this monkey business that we have in Barbados. I hope that you continue to enjoy your National Heroes Day. Have a great one, or what remains of it. Remember to stay safe, stay indoors. We are going to be out of this thing sooner rather than later. Hopefully next week, Tuesday, when I return, it will be essentially, we'll be on the verge of the end of this lockdown, and it may be eased to some extent. I suspect it will just be an ease. So a special thanks again, and I look forward to seeing you. Do have a great day and a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back on next Tuesday. Take care.